Dan Cherney is one of the great sports journalists in this town. Unfortunately, he defected to the dark side. He's left The Age. He's gone over to a very exciting venture at Code Sports, which he's been writing for, been enjoying all his work. And, Jared, he's been good enough to join us to talk all things Big Bash and maybe his own cricket career.
Well, let's start with his own cricket career. Daniel, I believe you've got you've just finished a torrid session in the nets at training down at Alston. Are you preparing for finals, or are you a bit like the Stars and the Renegades, just going through the motions?
Sadly, in the 11 that I play in, Jared, we're much closer to the Renegades scheme of things. But we're hoping to get a W on the weekend. So we'll just keep at it. That's all you can do, and eventually the wins will come.
What kind of cricketer do you reckon Dan would be, Jared, for the subbies down at Elsie?
Given that he's exited The Age to go to the long-form writing, journalistic writing,
disappointing,
Code Sports, I suspect he would be an opener who likes grinding them out.
Right.
Grinding them out, likes to sort of just have a full book at the end of the day. What sort of cricketer are you, Daniel? Probably a fast bowler.
I wish I was more like that. To be honest, I'm just a poor technician who just gives it a swing in the middle order and hopes it comes off.
Okay.
Which is actually, I suppose, the opposite to what we do at Code Sports. But I'm just generally very poor. I bowl very poor left arm, slow, they don't turn. Try to whack the middle order, and I'm not very good. Is the answer?
I guess that's the opening for me to say, even though it's a bit brutal. Well, given that, you probably get a game for the Renegades the way they're travelling. But I wouldn't say that. But let's very much before we talk about those at the top of the ladder. Disappointing year for our boys down here with the Renegades and the Stars. I mean, the Stars in particular looked like they should have been in the finals. We know they had lots of issues with COVID and injury and blokes going back overseas, etc. But ultimately, they didn't get near it. Lost when they did have their side, it just didn't get the runs that were required.
Yeah, another year of the Stars and the Renegades missing the finals. That's now two consecutive seasons for both of those. And the previous year, the Stars made the final, the Renegades missed it. And it's only 3 years since they contested the final themselves. So it's been a fair fall from grace. I mean, the Stars, you're right, Jared, they were unlucky in the sense that they were hard hit by COVID, probably the hardest of all clubs, maybe with the exception of Brisbane Heat. They were the first club to get really ravaged by it, came at a critical juncture in the season when they were sort of fighting, you know, they were sort of mid-table and fighting for a spot in the top five. They lost a couple of key games there and fell behind off the pace. But nevertheless, they still should have done better. There's so much talent on that list. We saw it on Wednesday night at the G with Glenn Maxwell and that magnificent knock and Marcus Stoinis. And their best has been excellent. Adam Zampa, when he was on the field, had another pretty good season. Joe Clark was strong overseas, but they just couldn't do it regularly. I think the bowling was a bit weak and the batting was a bit too thin. And that's sort of been the way again and again. So they've underperformed, I think. They also probably didn't take advantage of the Big Bash, the boost point. They didn't win enough of those points. They narrowly missed out in the five in the end, probably because they didn't get enough of those when they were up for grabs.
They looked much better when the Big West Indian was in, one of the best one-day players in the world, whose name escapes me just as we speak.
Andre Russell.
Andre Russell. Did he end up staying for the full season, or did he disappear as well?
No, he was only there for a short-term contract. I think it was five games.
You happy with these five-game contracts? That's what I thought it was. I mean, how can you bring a bloke over and then he's not there playing finals? And this is, to me, the flaw of the Big Bash.
Yeah, it's the eternal struggle with the Big Bash. Guys are there for a bit and then they're not, and then get called up for overseas duties with another country, or they go off to another league, or they start away with another league, or they get called up to the test squad, or they get left back to the test squad, or they get COVID, or they act as a replacement player for another team. It is just sort of the frustrating point that it's hard to get consistency. I think the Stars fielded the most players, I think, of any team this year.
Yeah.
COVID clearly played a role, but also, you know, they did have guys coming in and out, and I think they fielded six or seven overseas players. So it's hard to, you know, it's one thing, hard to build up continuity within your team, and it's hard to get consistent results, but it's also just hard for the fans to get behind.
I agree.
A team, when how can you sort of align yourself with a group who change night to night, week to week?
And Andre Russell's playing for the Stars for five games just after Christmas, and next year he'll bob up for the Renegades. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the quicker they bring it back to a five-week season, like they did initially, and get everybody involved for a period of time.
It goes way too long.
Way too long, and everyone loses interest. Surely the broadcast, I know they love product.
It's advertising space for them, Jared.
Yeah, but
that's ultimately what it is.
If no one's watching, then doesn't matter how many ads you're on, you're not going to get paid for them.
Hey, Dan Cherney joining us from Codesport. I mentioned to you a couple of nights on air, Jared, that Dan wrote an interesting story about CUB and Cricket Australia, and that they were basically
on the bogs.
They sent a warning to players, being like, you know, we
keep off the Urban Ale.
CUB is our main sponsor. Don't promote other beers.
Yeah.
And then Dan, I noticed that the day after they win the Ashes, the captain does a media opportunity with the host broadcaster Channel 7, holding the Ashes trophy, wearing a St Andrews beer hat. Now, is that the Test captain sort of showing who's boss?
I reckon maybe just a little bit, Sam. It'd be unfair on Pat Cummins to think that he didn't know what he was doing there, because he's a smart guy, very well spoken, and he's a commercial beast and switched on. So I'm sure he knew what he was doing there. That's an interesting dynamic. The warning was very much about, primarily focused on at venue activities. So hence, on the MCG, don't be drinking rival product, which they were. But this is a bit different. The day after the Ashes, they've gone sort of notionally on their own time.
Well, hang on, Dan. He's holding the Ashes trophy. I mean, that's he's literally holding the trophy. That's almost worse than on the ground, isn't it?
Arguably, I think it's a bit of a grey area within the MOU. I probably need to go pick through it with a fine tooth comb, and I'm sure the players will be trying to defend their rights as much as possible. But it's interesting because you get, these private sponsors, which they have, and they're a bit different, I suppose, even say to footballers who probably end up becoming much more aligned with the major sponsors of the game. Whereas in cricket, it's a bit more splintered, and I think the biggest cricket stars hold even more power than, say, the biggest footy stars because of their disproportionate importance and weight in the game. And David Warner's a key investor in St Andrews and has, I think he's been involved with them for a long time. So just another element there, given Warner and his sort of interesting relationship with Cricket Australia over the years. So there's a few moving parts to that one.
The interesting thing for me is, was he paid for it? Was it true ambush marketing, like we see on the tennis?
Was Pat Cummins paid for the hat, to wear the hat?
Yeah.
No.
He wasn't paid.
Definitely not.
So you'll find on the tennis, there's a patches appear when people know that they're going to be in big games.
Yep.
For instance, Cashy's girl, the Chinese tennis player,
yep.
I'm sure that she'll have a patch on somewhere tonight, because all of a sudden she's on centre court.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's a bit different when you're by yourself, though.
There's a bit of cash here
for
everybody. Yeah. Not Pat Cash, but cash.
Oh, okay. really interesting stuff, Dan. As we let you go, who wins the BBL?
I think the Scorchers. I think they're still the best team in it. I think they've been the most consistent. No clear weaknesses. I think Mitch Marsh has been firing, so I'd have to go with Dan. The Sixers are an outside shot too, but I'd say Perth.